Hello and welcome to Differential Discussions. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Dave.
And today is just a nice, quick review of all of the normal processes that we discussed with platelets and the whole primary plug. So that first phase of hemostasis.
Yeah, this is like the coag elevator pitch, maybe? Is that the...
Just a nice, quick review. Because we went over a lot of dense theory, and now this is going to be a quicker episode, just kind of thinking about putting it all together now rather than chunk of theory. And a little bit different, we actually have a whiteboard up here.
Yeah, and we don't just have a white screen with it.
So if you're listening on the podcast, I have the whiteboard pulled up because I'm going to draw. So if you want to see my terrible drawings, you can head over to YouTube. And if you're on YouTube, then you're about to see my terrible drawings.
I'd say world famous coag drawings.
Terrible.
You're going to get contacted by textbook companies and they're going to want to use this art.
Pretty sure no one is ever going to contact me about using anything that I draw.
Same.
But that's okay. We're here for the visual aid, not for my beautiful drawings.
Correct. Yes. And they'll be very functional. So, yes.
Functional.
Right. So the coag journey. We started with the vasculature, right? So I guess that's kind of where we're going to go again, right? So the functional cell of the vasculature would be the endothelial cells.
Yep.
And then we'll show what happens when they get disrupted. We'll start with the primary hemostasis and our platelet plug, right?
So here's my vasculature, right? And then you have a break in the vasculature. So that's our break.
Mm-hmm.
And like Dave was just saying, you disrupt the endothelials,
mm-hmm.
right? So the several things happen, right? Your endothelial cells can secrete a lot of things that are going to aid in this process. But one of the major things is the exposure of that subendothelial collagen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So for anyone wondering, SEC is subendothelial collagen. Collagen underneath the endothelium. So you expose that collagen. And that, what happens when you expose collagen?
So in the low shear spaces, right, platelets will actually have some opportunity to interact with that collagen.
So our low shear flow areas, right, and platelets are going to directly bind to collagen.
Right, and we'll talk about high shear in a separate kind of example. Yep. Mm-hmm. So here we have that opportunity for the platelets to interact, and they will bind via, is it glycoprotein 6, mm-hmm. right?
Yep, so glycoprotein 6 is, remember, the predominant collagen receptor.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to send that signal into the platelet to activate the platelet, which is going to do several things, right? So when I draw platelets, by the way, I'm going to draw them as little discoid platelets for ease, right? I cannot draw every platelet as activated. That would make my drawing's even worse. So when I show them going through the process of adhesion here,
mm-hmm.
please know that they are not discoid, right? Because they're discoid. And then you activate them and then they go through shape change. Yeah, exactly. So that glycoprotein 6 sends the signal into the platelet. And so several things happen. So one is shape change.
Yep.
And that is to really increase the surface area of the platelet so that the surface connected canicular system is shorter.
Yep.
So that the platelets can dump their alpha granules to that surrounding area quickly. So first thing that happens, remember, is shape change.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What's the second thing?
So what is it? Second thing, we have secretion.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's to recruit other platelets, right? So it's going to secrete all procoagulant kind of, all those goodies in the granules that they've been holding on to.
Yeah, so procoagulant stuff to recruit other platelets, coagulation factors, that's more alpha granule stuff. Mm. Dense granule stuff also has some of that, also some vasoconstrictors, and has ATP and ADP and, you know, calcium, magnesium, so all things we need for all of hemostasis, not just primary.
Right, very important. Yep. And then, so then following our secretion, right, mm-hmm. would be the aggregation.
Well, we're still talking about just activating the platelet.
Okay. Okay.
So before we get there, we've done just shape change, secretion. Then we want to do our phospholipid flip.
Okay. Yeah. So simultaneous, these are all kind of simultaneous things too, right? So like, it's nice and neat to put them on a timeline. Everything's happening like really, really, really quickly. Right. Yeah. So the phospholipid flip is very important. So we have these phospholipids, asymmetrically distributed. So phospholipids facing inwards, we generally want to stay facing inwards unless and until activation, right? So then that phospholipid flip, and that creates a lattice work, maybe is a good way to describe it, for coagulation factors to begin secondary hemostasis, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. We need that polar phospholipid to be exposed. Yep. So we're taking it from the inside and flipping it to the outside. And then the last thing is the activation or conformation change of glycoprotein 2B3A.
Yeah, right, which is integral to the aggregation. The thing I wanted to skip ahead to.
Yeah, so we need to, because it's in the inactive conformation, and yes. So you need to activate 2B3A so that we can use it for aggregation.
Yep.
Okay, so that's all from glycoprotein 6. And glycoprotein 1A, 2A is the other helpful collagen receptor, but 6 is the predominant one. Mm. And I'm just going to put here because these are adhesion receptors. They bind directly to collagen. So adhesion is platelet to collagen binding. Okay. Then we have aggregation.
Yep.
And we already mentioned that's 2B3A. And that's our ag receptor. And that's technically platelet to platelet binding.
Yep.
But we know that fibrinogen and other proteins that have that same sequence as fibrinogen, the RGD sequence, they can also aid in aggregation. So von Willebrand's factor, fibronectin, vitronectin, things like that. Mm-hmm. And so aggregation would be on top here, giving us a nice solid plug.
Yep.
And again, all those platelets should not be nice and circular. It's just a drawing.
It's all good.
Okay. I think that's most of normal low shear aggregation.
Yes. And do we want to do the high shear? The differences maybe, and then cover secondary. So this, and then this, to be clear too, this would be primary hemostasis, right?
Yes. Just primary so far. That's all we've covered.
So we formed our platelet plug as our primary hemostasis. So in normal conditions, secondary hemostasis would be happening simultaneous, sort of like once the phospholipid flip and platelets are secreting that stuff, secondary hemostasis is beginning. But we'll defer now. We'll start talking about our high shear. The problem with high shear, right? So when blood flow is really, really fast, platelets aren't going to have the time and opportunity to be able to grab that collagen.
Yep.
So we need a different molecule to facilitate that. And we talked about von Willebrand's factor and the different receptors and things like that. So one of the things von Willebrand's factor can bind to is, in fact, collagen. And then where does that come from? I guess we should talk about where the von Willebrand factor is coming from, right? So endothelial cells and megakaryocytes / platelets, right? Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
So, and then if we imagine our von Willebrand factor, I think of like the red carpet. I think of like these long trails of carpet. And there's an enzyme, Adams TS13. Maybe I'm going too far in the weeds here, but we'll cut it up into different lengths. And having a variety of lengths of von Willebrand factor is very advantageous. We don't want them to all just be super long. There's disease states associated with that, pathophysiology associated with that. But in any event,
let's actually take a second and draw that. We have a little bit of time. So if this is your vasculature, right, that's part of your vasculature. We have a specific endothelial cells. Pretend that's a nice endothelial cell. And you're going to expose von Willebrand's factor from the Weevil Palade bodies here. So this is a Weevil Palade body. Let's see. So you expose von Willebrand's factor, you secrete it from there. And usually there's an adhesion molecule like P-selectin or something that'll help it adhere. And then Atom TS-13 is just kind of sitting here. Waiting to chop up that von Willi. And so it chops up the von Willi and puts it out into circulation in the different size multimers. And it's important to note that endothelial von Willebrand's factor is really responsible for the circulating amounts of von Willi. And if you need extra von Willi at the site, yes, your damaged endothelial cells can also excrete it, but that's really where platelet von Willi is most active. It's going to be secreted right whenever you activate the platelet, and so you'll have von Willi there for help with other adhesion if we need it and help with aggregation. All right, let's go back. Okay, so let's think about von Willi being a huge molecule. If you ever look at the way a protein, a very large protein, is drawn, it looks kind of like this.
Yeah, like the scientific, with noting all the beta pleated sheets and helices. Yeah,
all that fun stuff. It looks something like that. But the way I like to think about it, because we have to roll out the carpet, because when it's in that big circular form, the receptor for the platelets is going to be hidden. I kind of think of it kind of like this, where it's all curled up on itself and it's hiding those receptors on the inside. And so what happens is when it binds onto collagen, rather than staying in that kind of coiled up form, it literally rolls out the carpet and exposes those receptors now. And then you have your platelets that will come along and bind onto them. So more adhesion receptors, right? So technically it's still platelet to collagen binding, but now it's platelet to von Willi.
To collagen, right? Yeah.
And so we need platelet glycoprotein 1B95.
I like to think of the platelets too. It's like an action sequence in my head. I don't know. I've watched too many Star Wars movies. But it, like, the platelet's gonna maybe hit the von Willebrand factor and like roll down as it slows down from like the high shears, you know? So the von Willebrand factor is kind of acting like a Velcro, right? Yeah. Which we could kind of see is like a bigger landing pad, more tolerance for maybe like, it's like slowing down, right? As opposed to like a platelet and the subendothelial collagen in the low shear, I think of like almost like a button, like a fastener, right? And it's hard to do that when you're going really, really fast. So you need this.
Well, I think the other benefit to von Willebrand's is it doesn't, it's not stuck at the edge, like at the side where the vasculature is. It can kind of wave into the middle and grab other platelets that are not quite next to the vasculature.
That's a great point. Yep. Is it? Yeah. So I can imagine that.
But still, you need the Velcro to, you know, your platelets going zooming by and it goes. Gets stuck right onto the Velcro.
Yeah.
And Willi.
So this is a really, really important. I mean, so we see it in the pathophysiology of people that have von Willebrand factor diseases, right? Different types.
Yep.
Not having functional von Willebrand factor, you're going to bleed. You're going to have a propensity to bleed.
Especially in areas of high shear.
Yes.
Because your other receptors still work, right? Your glycoprotein 6. And anyway, we're getting into the weeds of the disease. Yep. Let's come back to this. So 1B95 is that platelet receptor for von Willebrand's factor. And then once it gets close enough, the platelet can still bind to collagen.
Yep.
And then we go through that same process. So you activate your platelet, you get the shape change, the granule secretion, phospholipid flip, activation of 2B3A, and then you can go through aggregation with glycoprotein 2B3A. Yep. So I think too that it will be really important when we talk about disease in that we have several adhesion receptors.
Yep.
We only have one aggregation receptor.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So regardless of how you're adhering, you only use 2B3A to aggregate.
Yep.
So I think that's an important thing to emphasize.
It's really hard to not go into a different direction here, but I'm managing.
Yeah.
I'm managing.
Yeah, because I think another thing that we'll eventually talk about is platelet aggregation assays.
Yep.
And the different agonists that we use to activate the platelets in vitro when we're actually testing for them. And I think that'll be an important thing that we'll hit on coming up, because we'll move into diseases. Now that we've finished normal, we'll move into diseases.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll need platelet aggregation. All right, I think that really is all that we needed to review as a summary for normal primary hemostasis.
Yeah, and I think it's good to put the whole, because it was a kind of a dense, like you said, there's a lot of theory there. And this is that narrative in a more simpler, I don't want to say high level, zoomed out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just kind of putting the whole picture together.
Definitely. Cool.
Well, I think that's all we have for this video.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening.
Thanks for your time.